I invite you to take them out and turn with me to Philippians chapter number 3, New Testament book after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're not familiar with the layout of the Bible, keep going past Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You'll find Philippians just after Galatians and Ephesians. If you get to Revelation, take a left turn. You've gone too far. Philippians chapter number 3. I want to invite you to join with me as we stand in honor of the reading of God's Word as I share with you this message this morning, living a meaningful life. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians in Philippi. He's establishing them in their faith. And this is one of my favorite books of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul encouraging these believers in spite of the darkness of sin, in spite of the troubles of the world in which they live, and the same troubles that you and I encounter. He was encouraging them to shine as lights in the world and to live out their faith with confidence, placing their trust in the Lord. This is what he has to say to us. Furthermore, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word to us this morning. And as we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to lift us up, to guide and direct our steps. Things, Lord, that you've prepared for us in us, Lord, that we might attain unto those things, Lord, that you've prepared for us. God, we recognize that in the fallen world we live, we desperately and earnestly need your presence and your power at work in our lives. Lord, as we face the dawn of a brand new year, I pray that you would open our hearts and that you would enable us, Lord, to choose to make this year different than all of the ones in the past. Lord, that we would purpose in our hearts together as a people to make 2019 a year in which you shine in our lives and other people see Christ in us, the hope of glory. God, let your grace be upon us and let the Holy Spirit abound in us as we pray together in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I'll apologize for my voice this morning. I woke up with a bit of a dry throat and scratchy, And it's only getting a little bit more so as the day goes by. But thank God for the Word. Amen. Thank God for an opportunity to hear the Word and to preach the Word. Most of us will never have a unique opportunity that Alfred Nobel had when he read his own obituary. It happened because of a case of a mistaken identity. Albert opened the paper one day and he saw that his brother Ludwig had died in France, but the news media had confused the two names and thought Alfred was the one who had died. So as he read his own obituary, Alfred was horrified to find out that the media referred to him as a merchant of death. Now, they depicted him in the obituary as a man who had spent his life gaining and prospering because of the manufacture of weapons of mass destruction, a weapon that he, in fact, had invented. See, Alfred Nobel was the one who had discovered dynamite in 1866. And he thought it would be an instrument of peace that no one would use because of the immense power that it held. But in 1888, as he was reading his own obituary, he discovered the world thought far differently of him than he viewed himself. And as far as the public knew, dynamite was Alfred's whole life. There was nothing in the obituary that spoke about his humanitarian efforts to join people and to break down barriers that had separated them. He was merely depicted as a merchant of death. And so he made a resolution that day as he read his obituary. For the Nobel Peace Prize, the most valued of awards given to those who have done the most for the cause of world peace. Now, Alfred Nobel took on an entirely different direction in his life and new purpose as a result of reading his own obituary. He couldn't change the past, but he was determined to make a change for the future. Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, you and I may not have the opportunity of the mistaken identity and the opportunity to read our own obituary, but what you and I do have is a chance to make a choice about what the future of our life will look like. We can have the opportunity today to improve our lives and the lives of others. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing in this passage, and he's giving time-honored principles for making our life count. I'm sharing with you this message entitled, A Meaningful Life, because God wants you, and he wants me to live a meaningful life. He wants our life to count for something. Can you say amen? In fact, the Apostle Paul teaches us here that in order to have a meaningful life, you've got to choose a priority. What's going to be the priority of your life? What's going to be the thing that you choose to do in your life that's going to make a difference, not only for today, but in all of your tomorrows? Now, it's obvious from verse number 10 that the Apostle Paul had a singular priority. For he says there in that passage, this one thing I do. This one thing. He didn't have 10 different goals for his life. He had simply one goal, one aspiration, one desire. And the object of his desire is what should be the object of desire for every one of us. He said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know him. See, the greatest goal that you or I could possibly choose is the goal of knowing Jesus, because he has a plan and a purpose for our life. In fact, his plan is that you and I walk in God's abundance. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life to the full. It's very evident his relationship with God. And he kept his focus on that one priority. He refused to get sidetracked. I don't know about you, but I've learned in life, it's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get drawn, let my attention get drawn away from the main priorities. Heard a story about an English bloodhound. His master had taken him out hunting one day, and the bloodhound got on the scent of a large deer and began chasing the deer. And the man knew that the deer was out in front of the bloodhound, and he was following the trail of the dog chasing the deer. But somewhere along the way, a fox ran across the trail, and the dog picked up the scent of the fox and began chasing it instead of the deer. And as he ran down the fox trail, a rabbit crossed its path. And he caught scent of the rabbit and began chasing the rabbit down the trail. Well, after a few yards, a field mouse caught his attention. And the field mouse ran into a barn where the bloodhound ran and stood at the door of the barn barking at a field mouse. That's where his master found him. You know, in life, we can get sidetracked, and instead of chasing the goal that the master desires, we chase something far less. There are people that have, in life, become enamored by pleasure, or by sex, or by power, or by money, and they've allowed these things to distract them away from the goal of knowing Jesus Christ. I've seen men who have preached the gospel and have served in ministry, and they allowed themselves to be drawn away from what God had called them to because of some other desire. I've seen married couples who stood at an altar and pledged their love one to another, their eyes filled with passion and their hearts filled with hopefulness. But years into their marriage, they lost track of what they were trying to achieve. They lost their purpose and as a result ended up in a divorce court suing one another. I've seen teenagers who came back from summer camp and they were on fire for the Lord. They'd heard the gospel preached and they were transformed during that experience. But a few weeks back, among their old friends or their old crowd or their old habits, and their faith was derailed. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not something that God wants to see happen in our life, but it's something the devil is laying a snare for. Let me just say to you this morning, the devil's always trying to put something else in your path for you to chase other than the will of God. And so Paul encourages us here to choose a priority. He makes it very clear that our main priority in life is to live for the glory and the honor of God. Jesus himself says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added to you." In other words, instead of chasing material things, we're to pursue God. We all need to ask ourselves, what's the one thing for me? What's that thing that God desires or has planned for me? Because too often in life, people seek the things instead of the one thing, and they end up derailed in their faith. Truth of the matter is, any road you travel will take you nowhere if you don't know where you're going. You can wander through life aimlessly, but until you make a determination about where you're headed, no road's going to lead you to the right destination. And so Paul is saying to us, don't lose your priority, but live for the glory of God. Now, I've observed that Christ's Spirit dwells best in the heart of someone who's made a choice about doing something positive. When they see a need, they say, "I'm going to do something about this." The average person sees a need and says, "Someone ought to do something about this." But for a person filled with the Spirit of Christ, we ought to be saying, I'm going to take an opportunity to do something for the glory of God, something positive that's going to bring about a change, not only in my life, but in the lives of others. See, Paul is saying to us here, find a priority and then perform it to the best of your ability. Find God's priority for your life. Secondly, if you want a meaningful life, you've got to get over the past. He says in verse 13, forgetting the things that are behind. I realize in life that the past can influence my present and my future if I allow it to. But God's word instructs us to really hit the delete key on our past, to get beyond our past failures, to let go of past arguments or past sins, because if we hold on to the past, it only sets us up for failure in the present. Most of us have seen circus elephants tied to a small peg, rope around their leg or a chain around their leg, and a saying goes, an elephant never found that's holding them in place. That's because, as the old saying goes, an elephant never forgets. An elephant, when he's young, is tied to an immovable object, and he learns that no matter how hard he pulls, no matter how desperately he tries, he can't get free from that immovable object. And later on in life, it only takes a small peg driven in the ground. When he hits the end of the rope, he doesn't try any longer because his past reminder has convinced him that there's nothing going to loose him from the bondage that he's in. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're a lot like elephants when it comes to past failures. But God tells us, forget about the past and reach forward unto what's ahead. When we hold on to the past, it sets us up for failure. Holding on to the past brings failure into every tomorrow. Have you ever wondered why the windshield in your automobile is 50 times larger than the rearview mirror? It's because when the manufacturer knows when you're driving down the road, forward should be the way that you spend the majority of your time looking. Well, can I tell you, God, our Creator, designed us not to live yesterday, but to live for our tomorrows, to live in the present, amen, and make positive decisions that are going to affect us and affect others positively. Now, it's a good thing to look back occasionally, but dangerous to live life looking backward. And if you live mentally and spiritually looking backward, you're only setting yourself up for disaster. Now, Paul declares in this passage, we're to forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. I'll be the first to admit, I don't know what 2019 holds. But I don't want to live another 2018, I know that. I want to see God doing great things in the future of my life, my family, my community. I want to see God doing great things in the life of this church. And I believe that our best days are ahead as we focus on what God desires to do in our life, as we press toward the mark. Notice the words that Paul employs as he writes this passage of Scripture. He speaks of straining and pressing, and both of these imply tremendous effort. You know, we've got to make a determination. I'm going to step into the future with my hand in the hand of Jesus, and I'm going to believe God for miracles, signs, and wonders to be accomplished. I'm going to believe God for a new beginning, a new hope. It takes great effort. And the first step can be painful, because the first step with any new beginning usually starts with repentance. See, if you're coming to Christ, He calls us to repent of what's been in the past. That means 180 degree about face, turn away from it, and begin to walk in a new direction. We've got to face our failures in repentance, and nobody likes considering our own failures or our own weaknesses. But the good news is, when you bring them to the Lord, the Bible says He puts our past or our sins behind his back. He cast them into the sea, never to be remembered against us. God gives us a brand new beginning. But repentance isn't easy, and neither is forgiveness. I discovered along the path of my life that I can forgive others a little more easily than I can forgive myself. Anybody with me? We make bad choices, we do things that affect us, and it causes us to beat ourselves up. And if that's not enough, then the devil will jump on everything we've done wrong, and he'll remind us of past failures, of past arguments, of past sins. We've got to operate, ladies and gentlemen, in forgiveness, not only for ourselves, but for the benefit of others. Also discovered, forgetting's not easy. You've got to make a conscientious choice not to remember that thing. We have to determine to redirect our thoughts. And sometimes it feels like we're in a strain, we're caught in a press in that moment. But God hasn't given us an option if we want to press forward. Now, if you want to make life meaningful, Paul says, press toward the mark. Because nothing in life meaningful happens unless you make a press. I'll just be honest with you, wishing doesn't do anything for anyone. How many of you have ever, I wish this would happen, or I wish that would happen? But positive outcomes demand positive action. Positive outcomes demand that we be willing to step into the press. Wine is made by putting grape, and the wine juice comes out. And wine often in the Bible represents power. Jesus taught new wine must be put into new wineskins, for if it's put into old wineskins, it's going to burst. In other words, you can't operate in what was and expect the new power that Jesus desires for you to have in your future. New power can't be given to someone who's hanging on to old ways. Jesus says we've got to press forward. We have to press out of the past into our future. And the real tragedy is the past is like a magnet always trying to draw us back into its control, back into its power. And the paralysis of the past prevents us from entering into the present blessings and enjoying the moment of today. This past week, I was watching something on television. It was a sports channel, I think Sports Center. And one of the men reminded me of an old saying that said, yesterday is history and tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Today is a gift. It's something that God has given to you and me, and we've got to press in to receive what the Lord has for us. Every housewife knows that in order to get wrinkles out of shirts or pants, you've got to do some ironing. Oh, don't amen me now. Guys, you missed your chance. You've got to put the press and the heat on the garment in order to get the wrinkles out. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is coming back after a church without blemish or stain or wrinkle. Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus teaches about the narrow path and about the press of the narrow path. Let me tell you, everybody that lives in Ulagod and works in Tulsa knows about the press of the narrow path. All you have to do is get on Highway 169 about 515 headed north. And about the time you hit Bird Creek, you're going to notice the press of the narrow path. As drivers are trying to reach their destination and the lanes narrow and the line grows long and the frustrations do as well. Come on now, tempers grow short when we get into the narrow path. It's because of the press, but it's in that press of our life, in that press of the narrow path, that God is working out salvation for his glory and for our good. In Mark chapter 5, we read about a woman who had been suffering physically for 18 years of her life. She had a physical problem. Her body was hemorrhaging. For 18 years she was bleeding without relief. And one day she heard about a man named Jesus. And when she went to see him, she couldn't get near him because of the press. There were people thronging around Jesus, but she made a decision. She told herself, if I could but touch the border of his garment, I believe God's going to make me whole. She made a decision that she was not going to allow her grief or her past disappointments to affect her present decision. And she made a choice. Crawling through the crowd, she reached out and touched the border of Jesus' garment. And he said, I felt power go out of me. Let me tell you, the power of God is available to the person who will make a priority in life. I want to do things God's way. I want to do God's will. She pressed past the crowd. You know, a lot of people live an empty and unfulfilled life because they don't want to press into the power of God. I know how it works. We come to church, we listen to a sermon, we're inspired for a few moments, and then we pick up the garbage of our past and we go about life as usual. But for someone who makes a decision, for that person been living, it's a determination that I don't want to live any longer the way I've been living. The saying goes something like this: when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change, that's when we make a decision. And so God invites us to make that choice, to press in and receive what he has prepared. God offers us a new beginning. Say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You're absolutely right. I don't know you the way God does. But what I do know is that Paul makes his own statement of confession and repentance. He said, I was a murderer. He'd gone around killing Christians simply because they were followers of Jesus Christ. I don't think you've done that. He was a man who had blasphemed God with his mouth. And he said, I was an injurious man, but God had mercy on me. He came to a place where he stopped relying on his own goodness. And he says here to the church at Philippi, I want to be found in Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from my efforts at trying to be good enough for God. Not righteousness that comes simply by my own effort, but righteousness that comes by faith. Say, preacher, I don't have a lot of faith. I've been in your shoes. But the Bible says God has given to every one of us a measure of faith. And if we'll have faith like a grain of mustard seed, he said nothing's going to be impossible for us. We can say to the mountain in our life, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be removed. You see, through faith, God gives us brand new life, a brand new chance. And that's really the difference between religion and faith, ladies and gentlemen. See, religion leads us into a dead, dry, Christian expression of spirituality. Before Paul received Christ, he had religion. He was a very religious man. In fact, I read about his pedigree. I was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I had perfect and faultless righteousness according to the law. I'd been living my life trying to do things God's way to the best of my ability. But I realized one day whatever was gained to me was garbage in the eyes of God. And he said, I laid all of those things aside so that I could win Christ. See, when faith comes, we discover the life of God in Christ Jesus, and faith points us to something greater than ourselves. Faith leads us into an ever-deepening relationship with the Lord, wherein we recognize that it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And every day that we live, every moment of our life is expended in the knowledge that God is at work in me to accomplish his purpose. And when we put our faith in God, our life takes on a brand new meaning. Nowhere in the Bible will you read, without religion, it's impossible to please God. But you will read, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We've got to put our faith and our trust in Jesus. And we've got to press toward the mark. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is past. Behold, the new has come. And when Christ comes into your life, He gives you that brand new future. Now, the truth of the matter is, you or I may never have an opportunity to read our own obituary. But we can, with the help of God, begin to experience new purpose and new direction in life by making a choice today. I'm going to choose God's priority. I'm going to say yes to Jesus Christ. I'm going to devote my life to Him to the best of the ability that God gives me. I'm going to get beyond my past. I'm going to let go of the hurts. You want a new marriage partner? Let me tell you, get over your past and you can have a new marriage partner, and the person who already wears the ring you gave them on your wedding day. Oh, amen, preacher. God wants to bring newness of life, a new beginning to every one of us. And as we stand on the last Sunday of 2018 looking for a brand new year, I just invite you to make a new choice, a new priority, to live a meaningful life by getting over your past, bow before Him, and by pressing on toward what God has prepared for you today. Let's bow before His presence. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the word that You've given us today. And it's my prayer, Lord, that there would be no field mouse chasers in the building today, but make every one of us God chasers. Make every one of us men and women of faith who have made a determination to live out the priority of God for our life, to live out our faith by devoting ourselves to prayer, to the Word of God, and to the transformation that You desire to bring us as we apply the principles of Your Word in our daily lives. I pray over these two young ladies, Lord, who received water baptism today. God, a testament to the new life that Jesus wants to give us. And I ask, Lord, that You would direct their steps. God, that You would guide them and keep them, Lord, and that You would help them every day to make a choice to live looking forward and not looking backward, as we give thanks and praise to You in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder, maybe there's someone here this morning who would say, Pastor, I need a new start in life. I'm tired of the past. I'm tired of the way my life and the direction of my family has been going. And I want a new beginning in Him today. If that's you this morning, by lifting up your hand, you'd say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I need a new start in Jesus. God wants to give you that new beginning this morning. See, the truth of the matter is, every saved man, woman, and child in the building today has at one point in their life made a decision for Jesus. They've made a determination that all of my goodness and all of my efforts at being righteous in the sight of God are not cutting it. And you know that there's something absent and missing in your life when you're at that point. The thing that's missing is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not a dead, dry, cold, formal religion, but a living relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He invites us to make a decision for Him today. Maybe there are couples here this morning. You've been saved. You know Jesus. You say, we need a new beginning in our marriage, Pastor. You can renew your commitment to your loved one. You can renew your united commitment to God, and God will make your marriage brighter as you determine to let go of the past and look toward the future. A new priority for your life. Some of you are going to be graduating high school in a few months. You need God's priority for your life more than you need anything else. And so this morning, as we bow our hearts and as we bow our heads, I want to encourage you. Open yourself up and press toward what God has prepared for you. Would you stand with me all around the building today? Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word to us. Thank you, Lord, for the attentiveness of the people, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that the word of truth spoken through this worn vessel, O God, would bring life and abundant joy as people make a determination to choose you as their priority for 2019. God, for newness of life that comes through faith in Jesus, as together we pray in his name. Just open these altars to you, invite you to come. You want to come as a family? Come and pray as husband and wife. Pray with your children. Pray this morning that the Holy Spirit's going to give you a brand new season in 2019. Let's find a place around these altars this morning.